Let's start with the most urgent story, because the situation in and around the Strait of Hormuz is deteriorating in ways that could affect everything from global energy prices to the broader Middle East security architecture. The IRGC, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, is claiming it struck U.S. military positions in the Gulf in retaliation for American attacks on Iran. This comes after a U.S. strike that itself was described as a response to an Iranian drone attack on a cargo ship in the Strait of Hormuz. That drone attack violated the June 17th ceasefire, according to President Trump. So we're now multiple rounds into a tit-for-tat exchange, and the ceasefire that was supposed to have stopped the fighting is functioning more like a diplomatic fig leaf at this point.
The Wall Street Journal's reporting on the scale of damage is what really grabs my attention here. $400 million in damage to a U.S. Navy base. That's not a symbolic strike. That's a significant kinetic impact on American military infrastructure. To put that in context, the entire U.S. Navy's annual maintenance budget for surface ships runs somewhere around $3 to $4 billion. So $400 million represents real capability degradation, not just bruised pride. The question that every analyst in Washington is asking this morning is, at what threshold does this exchange stop being escalatory signaling and become something that requires a formal military response that neither side has publicly authorized?
And then there's this absolutely baffling communication line story. The reported U.S.-Iran Hormuz communication channel, which was presumably established to prevent exactly this kind of miscalculation, is now being denied by the IRGC itself. They're calling it a complete lie. But here's the thing. Iran's own state media cited the deal's mediators, confirming the channel exists. So you have the Iranian military publicly contradicting Iran's own state media. That kind of internal incoherence is actually more alarming than a unified, hostile position, because it suggests there isn't a single decision-making authority in Tehran that the U.S. can reliably communicate with. You can negotiate with a counterpart. You can't easily de-escalate with an institution that's publicly repudiating its own government's diplomatic channels.
There's a real historical parallel worth drawing here. In the late 1980s, during the tanker war phase of the Iran-Iraq conflict, the U.S. military was directly engaged in protecting shipping through the Strait of Hormuz under Operation Earnest Will. That operation involved 11 Kuwaiti tankers being reflagged as American vessels. The situation eventually escalated to the USS Vincennes accidentally shooting down Iran Air Flight 655, killing 290 civilians. That incident wasn't the result of malice. It was the result of operational confusion in a high-pressure environment with unclear rules of engagement. The conditions today, a nominal ceasefire that neither side fully respects, communication channels that are publicly denied, create the same kind of dangerous ambiguity that led to that tragedy.
The commodity market implications are already showing up in futures. Aluminum is one indicator worth watching. Vitol is apparently shipping stranded aluminum through the strait right now, which suggests the commercial sector is testing whether the waterway remains passable even as the military exchange continues. The fact that commodity traders are still running cargoes through the strait tells you something. Market participants currently assess the disruption risk as elevated, but not yet catastrophic. If that calculus changes, if even one major tanker is hit, you're looking at an oil price spike that could ripple through every economy that imports energy from the Gulf.
The Hormuz Strait handles roughly 20 to 21 million barrels of oil per day in transit. A sustained closure, even a partial one lasting 2 to 3 weeks, would immediately stress European and Asian energy markets in ways that wouldn't be fully cushioned by strategic petroleum reserves. The IEA's collective reserve holdings could cover perhaps 60 days of supply shortfall, but the price signal would be felt long before those reserves were actually deployed. So when we say this story matters, we mean it matters for gas prices in Seoul, energy bills in Munich, and inflation readings in every G20 economy simultaneously.
We should keep close watch on Zelensky's negotiation overtures and NATO's posture this weekend, because the U.S. military is now managing two active elevated risk theaters simultaneously, the Hormuz exchange and the ongoing Ukraine-Russia war. while the House is in a legislative standoff over how to fund both. That's a resource and attention allocation problem that doesn't have an easy answer.